Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me also from Los Angeles is Willie Garson. Willie is well known as the character Mozzie on White Collar, as Gerard Hirsch on Hawaii Five-0, and of course as Stanford Blatch, did I pronounce that right, on Sex and the City. Willie is also my brother's former college roommate. So Willie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is the best compliance podcast I've ever been on.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
So by far
the best one.
Stiff competition, and I'm glad to hear that we've won your endorsement. So yeah. As you can tell by the fact that Willie is an actor and not a typical compliance person, this won't be a typical podcast. We're actually going to try and learn from his experience playing criminals. He spent 5 years as Mozzie on the show White Collar, which I have to admit I got hooked on very late. In fact, I think after the show had gone off the air.
Sure.
And then proceeded to watch every single episode of the show. You know, Willie, what did you think you knew about White Collar criminals when you started doing White Collar?
Well, I didn't know a lot. I didn't know that I knew what I knew. And what I'm saying by saying that is that I've always been kind of a shifty guy. Like, I'm the guy who always stole the towel from my dressing room or did things like that, or stole wardrobe or whatever. So I know that there's like shifty ways around, like in my background, but certainly I didn't know about the complicated lengths that people go to. To not get away with much and often not get away with anything, which is more often the case.
Right. Now, what did you learn by actually doing the show and being exposed to all the various white collar scams that the show dramatically portrayed?
Well, I mean, generally what I learned mostly is confidence. It's like people who really do this stuff almost are too perfect at it in that they always say the exact right thing. We always had a joke on White Collar. We had a former white collar criminal was an advisor to the show and went over every script. Like, well, this couldn't happen. This would never happen. It would be better if you did this. But basically, he was kind of a fantastic con man. And our big joke was like, oh, his biggest con of all was convincing the production to pay him every week to go over the scripts. I mean, because like everything kind of made sense, and he would just have to put in his 2 cents to say something so that he would get another check for that week. I thought, well, that's a great con. Can't we do an episode about a TV show that hires a con man to teach them about cons, but he's actually a junkie con man? Like.
So now for people listening, they have to get inside the head of others who to help understand their thinking, to understand why they might do something that they shouldn't do. When you play a role, you have to get into the character's head. Mm-hmm. Any advice for non-actors in how to start understanding better how other people think?
Well, I mean, you know, that comes really from acting training, which is actually about not so much the acting. It's about the listening and seeing. So that's a real skill that can be developed. I don't think actors are that bright. I think anyone can develop it, but it's about really seeing someone. So you have to figure out what is someone trying to get from you? And is this something that has value enough that's, you know, where the risk and reward are balanced or imbalanced? For example, I'm going to tell you a great story. My friend was a super at a building, and the landlord, of the building would come by once a month to pick up the rent. The owner of the building was Sam Gigante, the New York mobster who used to pretend that he was crazy. He would walk around the streets of New York in a bathrobe and pretend he was crazy. So he would come to pick up the rent in a black limousine. And whenever Frank gave him the rent, he would say to him, "Hey, listen, do you happen to need a color TV?" And he'd say to his driver, pop the trunk. And he would have like six color TVs in the trunk. And Frank always said to me, you know, this guy was worth millions and millions of dollars, but the scam of selling hot televisions was more exciting to him than anything. Like, so the risk and reward was nothing, by the way, but the risk was actually more exciting to him. So that's about looking into people's, you know, not looking into their souls, but looking deeply into them and figuring out what are they risking to get what they're trying to get. And it's a tricky thing to do, but you can do it. It's quite obvious when someone's trying to get something over on you, I think.
Now, there's a lot of charm to the character Maz you played on White Collar, and on Hawaii Five-O you played a con man who also had a lot of charm. Why do you think we hold in our hearts an ability to like or even love people who live their lives outside the lines?
It's almost like if someone is charming and a good person, in both of those examples, you know, we're obviously talking about television shows. So the cons that these people are pulling it's very carefully crafted that these are not people pulling cons that are going to hurt people or hurt people that deserve to be hurt. Who don't deserve to be hurt, rather. Every con on White Collar was against someone who was truly evil. So it's almost kind of the whole idea of Robin Hood, like, let's get back at the really horrible person by bending a few rules that really don't hurt anyone, but it's going to take down someone who really deserves it. That's the case on White Collar. And obviously, if you've seen me on Hawaii Five-O, obviously the people at Hawaii Five-O watched White Collar. And we kind of, sometimes a white collar criminal, we're almost like rooting for the underdog in that case. If the thinking behind it is, oh, big corporation bad, and, you know, big money people sitting in a room laughing and counting all their shekels all day. So if I have to bend some rules to get back at them, we're all going to be like, yay, we won. We won against the bad guy. And that's very attractive on television, for sure, which is a fantasy world. I mean, obviously, I can't be walking around my life living like Mozzie. I'd be arrested in 2 minutes and I'd be in prison for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I would not recommend that. Now, no. You talk about, you know, it is scripted as to who the victims are of these kinds of things. So it's people that others don't identify with. Right. And there's a lot of characters that are sort of out there on the edge one way or the other. How far can you push a character to the limit before he sort of goes beyond the line from someone we don't approve of but like to someone we really want nothing to do with? You know, what is it that...
I mean, that's in television, when you're making television, that's a constant discussion. Literally in every script, it comes up. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Does this cross the line in terms of making this person despicable and unlikable? You know, this goes all the way back to when I used to be on a show called NYPD Blue, and my character was a grifter and an alcoholic and a gambler, and I'm sure would steal gold teeth if he could to get by. But he was so pathetic and charming and had so much heart that you loved him anyway, and you wanted him to do good. He wanted to do good. He had to learn how. And Jimmy Smits had to keep kind of putting him in the right direction, like, you can make this decision or you can make that decision. The whole point in corny movies, the whole point is, didn't that good decision feel better? Which is not always, doesn't always translate to real life. It's like, okay, well, I don't have the $10,000, so no. So it doesn't feel better. But But I think that's the idea of entertainment, is to kind of link us to go to the right direction. Collectively, we're watching it to go in the right direction.
Yeah, I think what's one of the things that's funny is, you know, in companies, you ask people to do ethics training and they say, I know right from wrong, this is going to be boring, all of that. Right. But it is amazing how much of television, movies, books, plays is all about people deciding right and wrong. And in that context, we find it fascinating and entertaining. So, which is an interesting split in people's lives, just like many have that split between how they would behave in their personal life versus what they think is acceptable in their business life.
Correct.
Well, Willie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us and sharing all these insights. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.